as I stand out here on the patio with you all today, and I look at what might be the dominant fashion item of this place, I realize that sometimes my bow ties just don't quite match the particular oeuvre of Valmont's congregational fashion sense. So I've decided to make a statement this morning. All right. There we go. All right. Well, now that I am truly a man of the people, I thought that you might give me a little bit of grace as I strive to feel a little bit more comfortable in these new duds. So I'm going to give me a moment there. Okay. That's a little more like it. I know it's a bold fashion choice, but I think that with the right confidence, I might be able to pull it off. So we'll see. I know that it took me nearly 9 years to have the right confidence to be able to join with you in this sort of fashion. But seeing myself this morning, I think I can affirm finally that I am truly a Valmontier. Today we conclude our brief study of what it means to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is actually something of a little bit of a bonus sermon, because I had not intended to preach it until after we had already been going through some of these considerations thus far. And we've looked at what the Spirit does for the church and the world too. We've seen how the Spirit gives gifts, the way that the Spirit helps us to cultivate and create unity, the way that the Spirit leads us, helps us, is our advocate, our paraclete in all that we are called to do. And so as we have looked at some of those things, I felt that we might tie these themes together with the mission that has been laid upon us by the Holy Spirit. That is the call to go and to make disciples of all people. After all, the Spirit was sent to equip us and to empower us for this very task, to demonstrate in our lives that Jesus is the Lord of all of the world, bringing glory and honor to the Father through his justice and his grace. So how does the Spirit's power operating in our lives help us to engage in this mission? How do we obey the great commission that our Lord has laid upon us? What does it take to live boldly for the Lord? In our passage today from the beginning of Acts, this beginning point for the church as it moves beyond being a group of Galilean disciples, the evangelist Luke ends up picking up where he concluded his gospel, as Jesus commissions his disciples before ascending into heaven. Jesus once again promises to send the Holy Spirit to his disciples, to equip them for the work that will be ahead of them. They're specifically told that the Spirit will come on them with power, so as to set about the mission of demonstrating Jesus' authority to all of the world. They are not tasked with what it is that they hoped to do, to restore Israel's national interests, but rather to be witnesses to Jesus' life and his death, and thus his resurrection and his lordship. The power of the Spirit to sustain the disciples in their weakness is to serve as a sign. It is a piece of evidence that Jesus is who he says he is, and he will accomplish all that he has promised through his church. We've seen the truth of this in our study thus far. The Spirit is dynamically continuing Jesus' ministry through us, helping us along the way by unifying us through gifts that are meant to lift up one another in the mission to be God's family for the sake of the world, to be built together as a house that can demonstrate what it means when we as a people are living together for the sake of God's glory. Because of the power that is bestowed upon us by the Spirit for this work, we are encouraged to act with boldness, that we act in a way that follows after Jesus in his servant love, so that we too might lay down our lives to bring glory and honor to God. This work of demonstrating the downward mobility of Jesus' kingdom will be arduous and challenging. Jesus has told us that much for certain. But we are given one another through the Spirit so that we need not labor alone. Our boldness, you see, grows out of the unity that is between us, that is making us one in the Lord. And since the boldness that we receive in the Spirit comes from our being united with one another, I want to do something a tad different today, clearly. I want to engage in the bold work of discerning the Spirit's activity with one another's help. And so I specifically chose it today when your chairs are movable, that you are going to go ahead and get together in groups of three or four so that we can talk about a few questions with one another. Well, go ahead and do it. You can turn to the people who are nearby you. You can move to be next to somebody else. The joy of having portable chairs. Those of you online, in a moment, I will put you in some breakout rooms so that you can talk in slightly smaller groups. Now note that we are going to only have a few minutes for each question, which is why these are smaller groups. So be sure to give one another space to respond. But be bold and willing to answer honestly. So before I break you out into the groups there as the online folk, here is your first set of questions. As a little bit of an introduction, go ahead and tell your group about someone who has modeled for you what it means to boldly follow the Spirit. Somebody who's been an example for you. Tell each other, what do they do and why do you admire them? All right. So go ahead and wrap up that first round of conversations. And the next set of questions that I'd like for you to discuss are, now I'd like you to reach back to our discussion around spiritual gifts. And feel free to share a gift that you think you might have. How do you want to use that gift for the service of the Lord? And maybe you could also tell each other in your group how you've seen that particular gift or perhaps another one manifested in each person's life within the group. So go ahead and take about 4 minutes to talk about that. All right. There's some good laughter going on over here. Hopefully there's good conversation. The next set of questions here is, have you ever been afraid of following after the Spirit's promptings in the past? Have you ever been surprised by a time that you've demonstrated bold obedience? What bold action would you like to challenge yourself to do? What challenge would you like to undertake for the gospel's sake? So go ahead and think about those things at this time. This is going to be the last set of questions that I'll be asking you to discuss. And you don't even necessarily need to answer this first question out loud for the group, but I do want you thinking about it. Not only what is the Spirit asking for you to take on, but what might the Spirit be asking for you to be bold in giving up? The disciples had to give up their desire for definite answers, specifically around the political future of their homeland, in order to trust Jesus in his ongoing work for all the world? Is there something equally important that you need to relinquish into God's hands? Perhaps you can discuss with everyone how to cultivate hope and trust about what is unknowable. How does this trust empower you to preach God's grace in a world that is in desperate need of hope and mercy? How can you do this in both word and deed? All right. Well, thank you all for taking this time to consider what bold new things the Spirit is doing and how you might be invited to follow. Doing something bold can be frightening. Getting into groups with people, sharing things that are on your heart, but it is also rewarding. A silly example of boldness can be the outfit that I'm wearing. It is a bold choice to show people that you love them. And I hope that in some small way, this is an expression of love for you all, even if I won't wear an Aloha shirt for some time. But I see you, and I appreciate the joy and the community, the commonality of this church family. The boldness that we are invited to show is always an expression of the love that God has for this world. And so I pray that as you experience a call to live boldly, that it would be out of the boldness of God's love on our behalf. It is what we as God's people are all about, after all, being filled by the Spirit so that we can be God's love for this world. And so, my friends, life in the Spirit is a bold reality, one of power, one of grace, and one of love. It is a gift not only for the one who is living boldly, but also for all of the people that they touch with their life as well. And so as we conclude this series, I will be so bold as to bless you with the words that we have already heard that Paul used to bless the church in Rome. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May you be so bold as to trust in God and know the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives. Amen. Holy and gracious Lord, we thank you for the incredible gifts that you have poured upon your church, gifts that call us to be bold for you, bold for one another, and bold to be your love. Help us, God, to follow after Christ, to be filled with your Spirit, and to bring all glory and honor to you both now and forever. Amen. As we prepare to conclude this time in worship, I will invite for you to stand and join us in our final hymn. As you prepare to go out into the world, I would charge you to be bold. Live boldly for the sake of our Lord. Follow after the promptings of the Spirit so as to obey the life, the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we might be joined together as a people of unity, as a people of love. Amen. And may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Please turn and share a sign of our Lord's peace with one another.